You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this. You can't touch this.
Good afternoon, NFP Nation, and welcome back to another installment of the NFP Press Coverage Podcast. I am your host, Joe Fortenbaugh, joined as always by Michael Lombardi and Matthew Snake Eyes Bowen. Gentlemen, before we get to anything today, it's a huge day here at the NFP. Snake Eyes turned 41 years old today. Snake Eyes, happy birthday.
I appreciate it. I appreciate it, Joe.
Now, you are 41, or am I a little off base with the years right now?
No, I'm 33, guy. 33 years old today.
33. Well, congratulations. And we also have, fresh on his return from Los Angeles, Michael Lombardi. Mike, how's it going with you today?
I'm doing great. And the fact that I saw a picture of Ryan Seacrest on a billboard out there made me think there's really hope for you. Next time I go out there, I'm going to see Joe the Tipper Fortenball up there on top of one of those billboards. It's just a matter of time.
I'm trying. You know, that is what I'm working towards. One podcast at a time.
Big trip to San Diego. You'll be out there. You know, you'll be big time in it. You know, it's, you never know.
That's right. The flight leaves later today. If Hurricane Ida clears up in the Washington, D.C. area, I am good to go. We've got three big games to discuss today, boys. Three big matchups, all with playoff implications on the line. Of the six teams we're discussing, five of them are coming off wins. Clearly, my Philadelphia Eagles are the one coming off the loss. But we're going to start in the AFC North, where 6-2 Cincinnati travels to 6-2 Pittsburgh. Steelers are currently a 7-point favorite in this one, and they're 4-0 at home this year, while the Bengals are 3-0 on the road. Steelers, of course, coming off the 28-10 Monday night win at Denver. Bengals coming off a 17-7 division win over the Baltimore Ravens. Mike, we'll start with you. Cincinnati's been one of the surprise teams this season, but for them to win the division, this is going to need to be a game that they come away with. They beat Pittsburgh at home earlier this season. Can they do it again?
Well, you know, Joe, they're 4-0 in the division right now. So obviously, they swept Baltimore, they beat Pittsburgh, they beat Cleveland. They'll beat Cleveland again when they play them at home. So obviously, the worst they're going to be in this division is 5-1, and you know, Pittsburgh still has to play Baltimore again. Obviously, they can beat Cleveland. So I think it's more of a must-win for Pittsburgh than anybody. I mean, Cincinnati is playing really good football. Their defensive front has been very effective. They do a great job of keeping people in the pocket, which ultimately, when the Steelers win, it's because Ben Roethlisberger moves outside the pocket. He makes plays, whether it's pump-faking the football or whether it's just throwing it when he's out of the pocket. That's their offense, and I think ultimately – the Bengals match up pretty well in this game. Their corners can take the receivers very well. They match up outside. And then if they keep him in the pocket, it'll be a difficult task. So I think it'll be a low-scoring game. But I think Cincinnati is for real this year. I think there's no doubt. After watching the tape against Baltimore, they're for real.
So you're thinking the Bengals are going to go in the Heinz Field this weekend and come away with the victory?
Now you're putting words in my mouth. You know, I didn't say that. You know, I didn't say that, Seacrest.
It's my job to get answers. That's what I'm here to do. I'm here to get answers.
I said very simply this. I said that they have a very good team and that it's not a must-win for them, which is what you allegedly put it out to. You told them it's a must-win. However, I think they can. I think Pittsburgh will win the game because it's a home game and Pittsburgh is resiliently tough coming off their best performance. I really truly believe it was their best performance in the last year and a half. I don't think they've played better. They've played a more complete game than they did against Denver on Monday night going back all through their Super Bowl year.
So, Lombardi, you've got the Steelers, but I have a bad feeling that the Bengals win this game. You're going to go back through and edit the last part of that question.
I have no problem admitting when I'm wrong. Obviously, you remind me continuously. You know, you're the guy who keeps sending me Cedric Benson clips all night long. You know, I mean, my YouTube account's filled with them. I know who they're from. I mean, I there's no denying it, but you could put fake names. You can blame Yahoo Dave for it. It's okay.
No problem. It's the beauty of text messages. It's the beauty of the text message. Snake Eyes, birthday boy. Let's kick it over to you on this one. Pittsburgh looked real good shutting down Marino and Buckholter on Monday night at Denver. But Benson has been a different story this year. He's been one of the league's top rushers. Is he going to be able to get it done against the Steelers this weekend?
I don't think so. I think Pittsburgh's defense is really playing their best football. I know I agree with Mike that the whole team is playing with their best football. Right now, Pittsburgh's number one in the league against the run. I think the key of this game is how they contain Benson on first and second downs and get to those third downs. They can show their zone blitzes, show their creative style. If you watch the Monday night game, it was so fun to watch. As, you know, if you like defensive football, on third downs, the only person down in the stance was nose guard Casey Hampton. That guy standing all up all over it confuses protection schemes. You don't know where guys are coming from. And they're able to force Kyle Orton to get rid of the ball or make a play in the backfield. So I like Pittsburgh at home. I like them to win this division now as it's set up. But I think more so in this game, it's going to be what they can do against Benson, shutting him down. And on third downs, I think you're going to see a lot of that same stuff we saw on Monday night. I think it's going to confuse Palmer. I think they're going to force him into some turnovers. And I agree with Mike, low-scoring game. I got to take the Steelers at home. I picked them to go to the Super Bowl last week. I can't start picking them to lose.
Nice to see you got the Steelers after week 9 in the Super Bowl when they're sitting at 5-2 at the current moment. But that's a good pick. That's a good pick. And, Mike, did you notice that it's his birthday today, but we get no cupcakes, we get no cookies. There's nothing, you know? There's nothing. There's nothing but emails telling him to wish him a happy birthday.
Well, because ultimately, you know, he's living a depressed life in the city of Chicago where he can't get any sport team to make him feel good about himself. And then the Hawkeyes coming off a loss. I mean, really, this is a birthday to forget.
His boy's coming to town next weekend, though. I fly in there next week. It's gonna, that city's going to pick right up.
That's probably why he's depressed.
He knows he's got to deal with Hurricane Formball for 4 days.
Exactly.
Oh, gosh.
You love it. Game number two. This is the one I'm going to be covering this weekend, covering in a very loose sense, as I will be in the parking lot and then in the stadium. But 5-3, Philadelphia hitting the road to the West Coast, the place they love very much this year, against 5-3 San Diego. Philadelphia 2-1 on the road this season. Only other road loss came at Oakland, 13-9. We all remember that memorable performance. And also coming off the loss 20-16 to the Dallas Cowboys last Sunday night. San Diego, meanwhile, 2-2 at home, coming off a big road win on the East Coast, which is rare for them, 21-20 over the New York Giants. Key stats for this game will starters. The Chargers are 1.5 favorites going into this one. Philly is 2-0 coming off losses this season. Birthday boy, we're going to start with you on this because obviously you love the Philadelphia Eagles this season. Philly's 2-0 coming off losses, but at the same time, they're miserable when they travel to the West Coast. They went out there last season, I believe it was, and played San Francisco in a game that shouldn't have been close, but was very close down to the wire. Even when they win, they don't do it impressively. What are they going to need to do to right the ship against a San Diego team that's ripped off 3 straight since dropping that home game on Monday night to Denver?
Well, you got to play better up front on an offense. They got to make mad time. He didn't have time against Dallas. They couldn't. Those long, deep routes to DeSean Jackson and Jeremy Maclin can't develop where McNabb's getting pressure. That in the running game, we talked about it earlier this week. Let's get Leonard Weaver involved. Let's see Andy Reid, you know, not depend on the pass. Every down, especially third and short, let's see him make some conversions and move the ball, and let's see him put some drives together. You know, we talk about him being a big play team. Yeah, that's great, but, you know, Lombardi always talks about it. You know, the teams that can't convert third and short are in big trouble. Get Leonard Weaver involved and go out and beat this team. You know, I still think that San Diego, you know, was a great win by them, but I think it was more of the Giants losing that game. You know, the Giants made too many mistakes you don't see from Tom Coughlin. Their defense was, you know, soft as tissue on that final drive. You know, Corey Webster's hanging out there, not covering his guy, doesn't know where the ball is. You know, that's a game the Giants should have won. I still think that Philly goes out there and takes this one, Joe. I'm sticking with the Birds.
Sticking with the Birds. I like that, but that's meant jinx in the past when you pick them. So excuse me if I'm not as excited as you are right now. Mike, one of the smaller storylines that's sure to blow up a little bit going into the weekend, Philadelphia has lost cornerback Ellis Hobbs for the season. Nickel corner Joselio Hansen has been suspended 4 games for violation of the league's substance abuse policy. San Diego lights up the skies on a weekly basis. Vincent Jackson has been killing it this year. What are the Eagles going to need to do to slow down the San Diego passing offense?
You know, they're going to have to really play big. I mean, ultimately, these receivers are all 6'5", and it's the best. The Chargers have the best vertical passing game in the National Football League, without a doubt. And ultimately, this game is going to come down to can the Eagles rush and create Phillip Rivers to be uncomfortable in the pocket, because I think they're going to have a hard time defending the pass down the field. Their corners just don't match up size-wise. So clearly, I think it's going to have to be a situation where the rush forces Rivers to throw the ball too early, because Vincent Jackson and Malcolm Floyd are just physically power forwards going up against point guards in this matchup as you look at them in the corner. But the Chargers, you know, don't play their A game last week, but they play well enough on defense. Merriman's had two sacks 2 weeks in a row now. Sean Phillips is starting to play better. Larry English is playing better. Defensively, they're never going to be great. If they eliminate the big play for Philadelphia, because the Eagles are all about making big plays, going down the field, and trying to, because they can't move the ball consistently. Now, the Eagles got to pray it's not a close game, because I think Andy Reid's 1-9 in close games with his brilliant clock management. However, that being said, I like the Chargers here. I think the Chargers going home are – I think the Chargers can match up well with their passing game. They're not going to be out of the game, and Norv knows how to protect. That's the one thing Norv can do very well. And if you can pass protect against the Eagles, you can throw the ball.
I keep hearing your Goodfellas, not Goodfellas, the Godfather ringtone in the background. Are you aware the iPhone does have a vibrate feature on it?
Yeah, I just put it on. Slappy. I did, you know, but I mean, I didn't have it in there. You know, I mean, it was in the middle of something. I don't know why these people keep calling me four times. They're persistent. It must be Yahoo Dave calling me to remind me about the thing.
Okay, so, all right, so those two games, all right. Good analysis, as always, from both you two. I should say
thanks, Joe. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you so much.
But you know what? Those two were just window dressing, because this is the big one we're coming to, game number three, and this is the one on the schedule. The NFL does it pretty much every year because it's the two biggest names in the business squaring off against each other. We're talking none other than Tom Brady and Peyton Manning squaring off Sunday night. The 6-2 Patriots head to 8-0 Indianapolis. The Colts are a 3-point favorite. New England's two losses, both coming on the road this season. They're also coming off a 27-17 win over Miami at home this past Sunday. Indy, obviously, 4-0 at home, coming off the 20-17 divisional win over the Houston Texans. Key stat going into this game, not including the playoffs, Tom Brady 3-0 career at Indianapolis. Those wins came in 2001, 2003, and 2007 with a quarterback rating of 107.1. Lombardi, I have set you up with all of the necessary information. Who you got in this one?
I like New England. I think ultimately this game is going to come down to patience, because what people miss about the Colts is they're tremendous on defense because of Freeney's uniqueness in terms of how he changes the game. However, that being said, I also think that what you have to do, they also play really well not allowing the ball to work down the field. They're fourth in the league and allowing big plays, so they have to work the ball down the field. And you have to be consistent with your offense. And that's something that Tom Brady's capable of doing. He's capable of moving the ball effectively, taking the 4 yards. 4 yard gains in this game are critical, and you got to do it. Conversely, I don't think the Colts can run the ball, and I think Belichick will demand and play fronts that entice the Colts to have to run the ball. I think he'll dare Peyton Manning to run. He'll dare Peyton Manning to call runs. Last week, he wasn't interested in doing that. And I think it's going to be a great game. It'll be a close game. I don't think any team can run away from each other, because ultimately they both can score. They both are effective offensively. So I think ultimately it'll come down to which team has the ball last, but I like the Patriots.
Do you think that running back Donald Brown will be available for this game? You were actually at the game against the Rams when he injured his shoulder. He's missed the last couple games. What's the status on D. Brown?
He's supposed to play this week. I was surprised he didn't play last week. I think that's a key help for the Colts. They need him to be in the game. They need him to be a factor because he can do some things that Joseph Addai can't do, the screens, the loose plays, and then he runs the ball well and draws. But I hear he's going to play, and if he does, I think that's a huge, huge step for the Colts this week.
Birthday boy, you are a huge Tom Brady fan. You try to dress like him. You style your hair very similar to his. How do you see this one playing out? Indy's undefeated. They're at home. They've won close games this year. They've won blowouts this year. Are they going to be able to withstand the loss of cornerback Marlon Jackson and safety Bob Sanders and still slow down that Patriot passing attack?
Well, I think Bob Sanders, losing him isn't as much a big deal as it used to be, because they're used to playing without him. You know, Bobby's an Iowa guy. I'll be biased and always pump him up. But, you know, Bobby hasn't played for a long time, and they're used to not playing with him. I don't think that's going to be that much of a factor. What I do think is going to be a factor, kind of going off what Mike said, is I think Peyton Manning's throwing the ball way too much. You know, he threw the ball 40 times in the first half against Houston last week. And, you know, the last two games are close wins over teams they should have beat. You know, they're better than San Francisco. They're better than Houston. But I don't think they can win throwing the ball 50 times against the Patriots. I think New England's defense will make some plays and, like Mike said, force them to run. And right now, Joseph Addai, I haven't been impressed with them. Getting Brown back will help, but I still think this is the Patriots game to win. I think they take it because the New England offense right now is too one-sided.
Adai has been quite the fantasy stud this year, though. He is figuring out ways to get into the end zone every week. But like you said, he doesn't break the big runs. He's not that big play threat. He just, you know, he's like nickel and diming it down the field. So both of you guys are going with the Patriots in this one.
Yeah, I think at some point, you know, the Colts have the last 2 weeks have kind of not played their best football and won. And I think this week it's going to require their best. And I'm not sure they can win this week. I think New England always gets better. New England always seems to have a uniqueness when they go there. And they play a certain style that's always uncomfortable for the Colts. I just think that this is New England's game certainly this week to find a way to win.
And say, guys, you feel the same way?
Yeah, I'm taking New England all the way.
You have a hearing problem today, Joe. That's pretty clear. You know, we keep saying things and you don't seem to understand, but that's all right. Well, I guess you must have your trip in mind. I think that's what's going on.
There's a difference between not hearing and not paying attention. And I'm just kind of staring at these notes and just letting you two ramble on while I get ready to speak next. That's what I do. I don't listen. I just wait to speak.
Well, we understand that. All the viewers know that, too.
Everyone can tell. There's no cohesion.
That's why Yahoo Dave's coming in next week to host this.
I know. My job's on the line, so I got to close this show in dramatic fashion here. We're going to do a little pick'em this week. We got three topics, quick hitter style. Number one, since we couldn't get to this game, this is going to be the first one we do. Mike, we'll start with you. Who wins it, Cowboys at Packers?
Great game. You know, I just think the Cowboys are playing really well right now. The Packers are not playing well. I like the Cowboys to win this game close. I think Aaron Rodgers is going to have to finally find a way to stay up on his feet. I know it's a desperation game, and I hate picking against desperation teams, especially with seven games to go. So, you know, it's against my nature to make this pick, but I think Dallas is playing way, way better right now in terms of their execution. And then when you have two defensive linemen that are playing at a blue level in terms of DeMarcus Ware and Jay Ratliff against this bad offensive line, I'm going to go that way.
Snake Eyes, what say you? Does the cheese pull it out this weekend?
I'm going with Packers. Upset special, Joe. like Mike said, desperate. They have to win this game. They want any help of, you know, staying with the rest of those NFC wild card teams, especially after my Bear win tonight. They're gonna have to win. I agree with Mike. I don't like the matchup up front. I mean, I don't like the matchup of the Green Bay offensive line against anyone in the league right now, but I think they find a way to make plays and get a lot of yards as they catch Driver and Jennings, make some big plays for them. And I think the defense finally makes some, you know, make some plays in the secondary, causes some turnovers. You know, I know Romo's been great. Right now he's the best quarterback in the NFC East. But I just think this is the Packers game to win. I'm sticking with the green and gold.
Topic number two. We've got to always bring this team into the mix at some point because we got to keep reiterating the bet, the Bruce Springsteen tickets versus the WWE tickets. Obviously, Snake Eyes is the one interested in those. which team is more likely to make the playoffs at this point in the season, the Baltimore Ravens or the Houston Texans? Snake Eyes, we'll start with you. You're going to say Houston, obviously, but do you have that sense heading into their bye 10 weeks in? Do you feel good about your bet, or do you feel bad about your bet right now?
Well, I feel fine about the bet because they're lumped in with everyone else. I mean, they're in there with the Jets, the Ravens, all those teams. I don't like the Ravens because, you know, kind of what Mike wrote earlier this week. I mean, Ray Lewis isn't making plays anymore. You lose your best playmaker, things start to go downhill in that defense. I have to stick with the Ravens. I'll tell you what, I mean, with the Texans, I'll tell you what, Mike. You will love WWE when those divas come out in bikinis from the front row, man. It'll be a great night. Have a couple butt heavies, will be fine.
I'd much rather see the E Street Band in full force, and you know, I'll go see Patty and little Susie over there. So I'll be all right. I can miss that because I think Baltimore's going to turn it around. I think Baltimore's a team that now they understand it pretty clear. I think they kidded themselves in thinking they can win with their defense because they as well they played against Denver the week before. But they're going to have to win with their offense. They're going to have to show they can win with their offense. And if they don't, they're in trouble. And I like Baltimore to make a comeback here. I think they're good enough to do it. They're physical enough to do it. So I think Baltimore would beat them out. Plus, I think the other factor, which we haven't talked about, and I don't want to jinx the guy, but, you know, eight games, Matt, we, you
yep.
know, Good. You know, he hasn't gotten hurt. He hasn't gotten hurt, and he's one hit away from getting hurt. So, you know, I just don't feel good about that. But that's just me.
That's okay, because how great would it be obviously you don't want to see a player get hurt. That's not what I mean.
I know where you're going with this.
I don't want to see Schaub get hurt. I like the guy. He's playing outstanding this year. But if for some reason Schaub goes down, Bowen's bet hinges on his boy, Sexy Rexy Roseman, to step in and lead him to the promised land. And what if he comes in and does it? Bowen, you'd have to buy the Grossman jersey, the red one too, the one you don't like,
and the red pants too.
He looked good. Swinging touchdowns everywhere. It'd be a great story, Joe.
He looked good in those red pants. You know, they look like Coke machines when they wear all red, don't they?
Speaking of which, have you procured the Grossman jersey that I have to wear and take a picture in next week at the Eagles Bears game?
Yeah, we got it. It's ready to go.
Right. That's ready to go. Really looking forward to that. I would probably have more of a chance of getting beat up at that stadium in that jersey than I would in a McNabb jersey, don't you think?
I think you will run you out of soldier real quick.
Oh, man.
I think if you dress up as Lovie Smith, you're liable to get murdered in the park a lot. But, you know.
So this is one of those rare instances where being in a McNabb jersey isn't even that bad. All right, last one on the docket. Here we go. If you were starting a franchise today and you had to take one of these two quarterbacks, we talked about them earlier. This topic always comes up this time of year when these two teams play. But you have, based on what you've seen, you get to use that in your analysis. Would you rather have Tom Brady leading your team or Peyton Manning? Mike, how do you see it?
You know, that's like you asking me who I love more, Mickey or Matt. I mean, really, that's hard.
that's not fair. Hey, I asked the tough questions. Me, that's Geraldo, not fair. I mean, Oprah.
Yeah, you were all, and Jerry Springer. Yeah, you and Jay. Yeah. And Larry King. Yeah,
after tough he questions asked, here.
Yeah, you got suspenders on too. You know, I like Tom Brady. I love Peyton Manning. I mean, that's just too hard. Ultimately, you know, if you have the second pick in the draft and both these guys are on the board, you just take whichever one comes to you because they're both good. You know, I think they both are unique players and unique leaders, and that's ultimately what you're looking for. I'm not answering the question, frankly.
Thank you. You could have told me that beforehand, and I just wouldn't have bothered asking you it at that
point. Well, that's why.
Great. All right. Birthday boy, make a pick here. Come on, give me something.
I'll take Manning. I think you brought them both back to the combine then, and you had them work out for you when they were rookies. I think you'd take Manning. I mean, it's hard to – I always hate when you compare, quarterbacks and how many rings they have because, a lot of that goes into who they're playing with too, what the situation is. So, like Mike said, they're both great, but I'm taking Manning.
All right, well, new policy here at the NFP Press Coverage Podcast. I will send out a list of softball questions prior to going on the show, and you two can let me know what it is you would like to answer and say, and, you know, we'll set it up a little bit easier for you that way. How does that sound, everyone? Good?
Okay, Larry, and now you're becoming Larry King. You're like a combination of all the bad hosts in the world, Larry King, Ryan Seacrest. You're really going somewhere.
And so it makes it so good.
That's why Yahoo Dave's can't wait to rip you.
Thank God you guys need me to host this thing and didn't have another option. Otherwise, I'd be out of a job. But all right, guys, excellent stuff as always. Enjoy the Thursday night game tonight. And everyone else, enjoy the games this weekend. There's a lot of action as we're starting to wind down and get the playoff time. For Matt, Birthday Boy Bowen, and Michael Lombardi, I am Joe Fortenball. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week. Touch this.